Now, about 60% of Americans approve of vaccine mandates for federal workers and private companies. That's from an Axios Ipsos poll in recent days. It comes after President Biden announced new vaccine requirements.
Many of us are frustrated with the nearly 80 million Americans who are still not vaccinated, even though the vaccine is safe, effective, and free.
How do you feel about the new vaccine and COVID testing mandate for companies of 100-plus employees? 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Diane Bierstecker is president of Human Resources Consulting, LLC, in Green Bay. Diane, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
Well, lay it out for us, if you will. What are the details of the vaccination and testing mandate that have been laid out by the White House?
Well, there's two sections to it, and President Biden rolled it out right after Labor Day. I'm sure the timing there was intentional. The first part is for government contractors, federal employees, and any entities in the healthcare system that receive funding from Medicare or Medicaid. And those at the federal level or the federal controlled level, it's mandatory that the vaccination take place. They don't have really any other option. So that's the most stringent rule that's been rolled out, and that's through an executive order.
And that's one piece of it. And what's the other piece?
And that's the other piece that we're dealing with our clients. And that's where Biden has directed the Department of Labor, which controls OSHA, to put into effect an emergency temporary standard, which requires companies that have at least 100 employees to either have all their employees vaccinated or to have a system in place that those employees who are not vaccinated are tested at least weekly.
What is the feedback there? What are you hearing from your clients and company leaders who are affected by this mandate?
Well, keep in mind that our company leaders are already struggling with the effect of COVID after almost 2 years, a worker shortage, supply chain shortages, and this is just one more heavy stone, you know, that's been placed on their backs. They're very concerned about it. They are struggling to get enough workers. The last thing they want to do is put another obstacle out there for a worker who wants to come in that has some type of objection to the vaccination. So there's a great deal of concern on the part of our clients in terms of how do we run our business, stay in compliance, and make sure then that we're doing the record keeping, we have a testing system in place, and, oh, by the way, Biden's plan requires that the companies pay for the time that's lost due to testing and time that might be lost if, you know, a very small percentage of people might have a negative reaction or need some time to recover from the vaccination. And all of that's expected to be covered by private industry. So it's dramatic.
Companies absorbing those costs. And you touch on here putting these systems in place. What kind of preparations and work will this make for these private companies who are charged with putting these systems in place for compliance?
It's onerous. It really is, because now they have to have a system of documentation that the person has been vaccinated or the test results are coming in that need to be negative. So just setting up the system up for tracking it, the communication that's going to be required to the employees, there's both hard costs and soft costs that are significant for these companies. And I think one of the things that may happen, and again, in a very tight labor market, is you may see employees leaving larger companies to go to the smaller ones that aren't subject to this mandate just to make life easier on the part of the employee, but that doesn't do anything for the 100 plus size employers out there.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Diane Bierstecker, who's president of Human Resources Consulting based in Green Bay, as we look at President Biden's vaccine mandates and how companies are reacting. Maybe you're putting a system in place at your company, 800-642-1234 to join in. So, Diane, how would you suggest employee medical information and privacy matters be handled around this mandate?
Well, one of the requirements is under HIPAA, which is the federal law that has the medical privacy built into it, is to keep those records separate. So my recommendation is that everyone have both the standard HR file where they keep the normal documents, but then that they have a separate medical file that they're maintaining for their employees so that information does not get commingled.
Can OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, can OSHA realistically enforce the broad scope of this mandate with about 100 million workers included? What will enforcement look like?
Well, enforcement could come either from a random check. They haven't determined yet how they're going to go out and do that. But there's also the possibility that there's going to be whistleblowers that will be calling in, and those whistleblower alerts of possible violation would certainly take precedence. And the fines are pretty hefty. If they determine, OSHA determines that a 100 plus employer company is not following this emergency temporary requirement that's out there, the penalty is $13,653 per violation per day. So, I mean, that would bring many companies to their knees if they end up being found in violation. So it's, you know, certainly the Department of Labor and OSHA were beefed up during the Trump administration. There's a lot more employees that are out there able to, employees of OSHA that are able to go out there and do these inspections. So I think it's a very real threat and possibility that, you know, doors are going to be knocked on relatively quickly. Now, this is scheduled to go into effect through OSHA once it gets published in the Federal Register, which probably has at least a 6-month window before that happens. And during that time, they're going to be taking public commentary. Certainly expect that public interest groups are going to get involved.
So there's that bureaucratic process that goes to getting it on the record. Let's bring in a call now. Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'd like to bring up, yes, I'm trying to respect the onus and the cost to the businesses for these mandates, but let's not forget to weigh the costs against another potential shutdown when the Delta variant is getting even worse, or maybe even a new variant beyond that. Thank you very much.
Kevin, thank you for bringing up that point. Diane?
Yes, that it's a very valid point that Kevin's brought up. How do you find this right balance between protecting our workers, having reasonable costs in place, and being able to serve our customers? And that's a very delicate balance that companies have been dealing with for already over the last 2 years. And now this third component has been put on there, and it's going to be incredibly difficult. The business owners are already struggling.
What?
And this is one more thing. Yes, they have absolutely an obligation to try to protect the health of their employees as much as they can and stop the spread. But a lot of things have to be weighed in that balance.
Diane, what kinds of vaccine exemptions will HR managers of private companies need to you know, anticipate and deal with?
It's the typical accommodations that are required under federal law. And that is either that there's a personal medical condition that prevents someone from getting a vaccine, or a religious exemption. So those are the two concerns that employers could be faced with. And then those would need to be documented very carefully in light of the OSHA requirements, so that if someone knocks on your door, you do have the information that says, here's the list of all of our employees that are vaccinated, or the testing schedule, and here's the group that have been granted an accommodation that allows them to go without being vaccinated.
Very quickly, will remote work complicate this? What does it mean for employees who never have in-person contact with coworkers because they're 100% remote?
At this point, the information that I've seen is that the remote workers would be exempt from this as long as they are truly remote. They're not reporting into a central facility. They're not going out on sales calls. They're not interacting with other company employees. If they're basically encapsulated in their home, truly remote using technology, at this point, it's believed that they are going to be exempt.
Diane, thank you for joining us.
You are most welcome. I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy participating in your show, Kate.
Appreciate it. Diane Bierstecker, President of Human Resources Consulting in Green Bay. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.